Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, April Oceano Community Services District, 6 p.m. We are meeting by teleconference. So may we call the meeting to order? May we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Director Gibson.
She's muted.
Yeah. I'm going to unmute everybody. Director Gibson.
Hello.
Roll call here. Director Villa.
Here.
Director Plogle.
Here.
Vice President White.
Here, if anybody can hear me.
President Austin.
Here. Okay. Karen, would you like to lead the flag salute?
Yeah, but I can't see anything.
Well, go ahead. Are you?
Yes. Remain seated. Envision the American flag flying in the sky and repeat with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States
of America and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice
for all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to agenda review. Is there anybody want to do anything on the agenda?
The only amended item, sorry, excuse me, President Austin, members of the board, the only item that was amended is we sent out an email and posted to the website a revised 7B where we attached the resolution with its amendments from the special meeting of March 20, 2020. And that was sent in an email to the board and posted to our website. So that's the only amendment.
Okay, very good. We have that. Does anyone, any other board members have anything on the agenda review? Okay, can I get a motion then to...
I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Second.
Karen White said that. Yeah.
I'll do a roll call. Director Gibson.
He's muted again, it looks like.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay. That brings us to public comments for matters that are not on the agenda. Do we have any public comment?
I received one item.
Yes.
Via email, and I'll read that first if you would like that first before we have the people on here at the conference. Either press 9 star to raise their hand or raise their hand via the computer or mobile device where there's a raise hand button. So while I'm reading this public comment on the telephone, if you press 9, it'll raise your hand to notify me that you have public comment. And if you're on the computer or mobile device, you can just click the raise hand button to notify me. But I received this one on April 4th, and I was going to read out loud and start a 3-minute timer. So this is from Brenda Lowe, Oceana resident. I wanted to commend the board and express appreciation for the OCSD board and directors and general managers, past and present, to recognize the work of the OCSD field and office staff for their service to Oceana and Halcyon. Specifically, I thank the board for their foresight in placing Measure 820 on the March 3, 2020 ballot. I attended meetings for over 2 years and listened to your board's firsthand as well as you discussed and researched the pros and cons and the merits of various options to adequately fund the Oceano Fire and Emergency Services. I agreed that this ballot measure for a flat parcel tax was the best funding option available. Oceano's current allotment of county property taxes remain inadequate to fund Oceano's continued partnership with Five Cities Fire Authority, which will end effective June 30th, 2021. Your decision to place the measure A20 before the voters in March helped demonstrate the overwhelming community support, with 66.14 voting yes to increase their own property taxes for this purpose. However, the parcel tax measure did fail to reach the required two-thirds threshold by only 0.5%, which was a mere 10 votes. We thank the OCSD board for your diligence in pursuing a voter-approved parcel tax dedicated to funding these essential services while providing for citizen oversight. Oceano and Halcyon still need rapid response for fire and medical emergency response. Plus, we need to assure that adequate firefighter staffing levels meet our community's needs. Therefore, I am requesting that the OCSD Board of Directors place this item on the next agenda in April for discussion of next steps. Please consider placing the same type of ballot measure on the November 2020 presidential election ballot. Perhaps more voters will participate in that election, as well as opponents will have more time to educate our voters about the benefits of increasing funding to maintain Oceano's fire department. I appreciate your consideration on this matter.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other in the queue?
Let me see if anyone has their hand raised.
I don't see any.
None. Now, I think we should close public comment, bring it back to Mr. Clemens. What Brenda Lowe requested about the November ballot, just the time that we would ask to put this on the upcoming agenda.
So that would certainly be something your board could discuss at a future agenda item. I think it would be good. Maybe we can discuss this under future agenda items later in the meeting.
Okay. All right. If there's no other public comment, then I will move on to our staff reports. Is Tony available?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hi. Okay, go ahead.
Good evening, board. Tony Marchino, Utility Systems Manager. So I want to remind the community about the California's drinking water system state-required treatment process. California's comprehensive and safe drinking water standards require a multi-step treatment process that includes filtration and disinfection. This process removes and kills viruses, including coronavirus, the COVID-19, as well as bacteria and other pathogens. Basically, our water is safe and reliable to our community. Now I want to go over, Lopez is currently at 52%, 5,669 acre feet. We had zero SSOs in March. State water deliveries are zero. Lopez, we took our full allotment of 303, and the carryover was 321 acre feet. So we're continuing to do our daily rounds, weekly samples. We had 21 work orders, 16 USAs, 17 customer service calls. We had 4 after hour call outs. 3 of them were for unlocks. 1 of them was for the office phones. We had troubles transferring those over to the on-call service. I also want to cover the executive order that was issued April 2nd. There are no properties that are currently locked off that are occupied. The drainage project, there's a little bit more paving they got to do for us to raise our utilities that are on Paso and Highway 1. Perform vacuumed out the wet well. We had to cut and cap a 2-inch water line, part of the North Swing project. That 8-inch has been installed on North Swing and Pershing. The 10-inch upgrade has been completed on Pier. So the back T and pressure test has been complete and all services are tied over to the homes. What's left is the alleyway that still needs to get upgraded. We had lock-offs. We're continuing to do hydrant maintenance, and we started valve turning, weed abatement at well 8 and at the yard, meter changeouts, and we had a really high influx on trash. So if there's any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Tony. Does any directors have any questions for Tony? I see none. Okay.
Thank you, Tony.
Is Benjamin going to be here?
What was the question?
Chief Lieberman is not on the...
Yes, Chief Lieberman is here. He's got a report for us.
Okay, great.
Good evening, Madam Chair and Board. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. Just wanted to kind of give you a global update. We're deeply involved in COVID planning on a county and regional basis. I'm doing my best to keep Mr. Clemens updated with briefings twice a day. The county is doing everything they can to anticipate an increase in infection rate. You've heard about the curve. The county is anticipating the curve, and that's why you've seen news stories with things such as Cal Poly being repurposed for an alternate care site that could potentially become a regional site for people once the hospitals have reached capacity. Five Cities Fire, we have the personal protective equipment we need for now. Call volume overall is down. If you've been watching local news stories, I saw the CHP actually say with reduced car and traffic volume, accidents are down 40%, which is a good thing. Our call volume is also down, but I will tell you that the increase in response for emergency medical calls where the dispatch center advises us of a phrase that states meets criteria indicates a potential COVID patient where our crews don additional personal protective equipment that is ramping up. So overall call volume remains low, but the propensity of the COVID cases is increasing slightly. Additionally, I was able to get emergency approval with the county EMS agency and the support of Compass Health to reduce our response to Arroyo Grande Care Center. We did that out of an abundance of caution to minimize exposure to the residents there and also minimize exposure to our responders. With county protocol that's established and used in other communities, nursing staff at Arroyo Grande Care Center can request an ambulance only for routine transfers that are non-emergency to hospitals. I think I'll take a break and see if there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions of Chief Lieberman?
No.
Okay.
No.
Do you have anything else to report?
That'll do it. Thank you.
We have no questions. Did you have anything else to report?
No, ma'am. I think I'll stop there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That brings us to Mr. Clemens.
Yes. So kind of along the lines of Chief Lieberman's report, I think the good news, we get a daily update from public health, and currently there's no cases, positive cases in Oceano. Doesn't mean that there aren't cases in Oceano. It just means that they haven't had a positive test result. And who would have thought that a month ago when we were talking about priorities, we would have a shift to a pandemic in that past month. But that's really what's happened with staff time and activities in the office. We've been kind of going full steam ahead with our COVID-19 response, and I'll kind of save most of that for the staff report later. As was mentioned in public comment, the final result of Measure A20 is in 66.14% in favor, just short of the required legal requirement. So we can talk about next steps perhaps under future agenda items. I've been in contact with LAFCO along those lines, discussing with the executive director of LAFCO the process. Your board has already authorized submitting an application to divest. And so I was walking through the process with him. Another little twist to that is Mr. Church is retiring this year. Maybe as soon as July. So we'll have to go through that process with the next executive director for LAFCO. We've had several meetings on the Zone 3 water supply contracts for Lopez Water, and we're making good progress on those contract negotiations. We think we can, at a staff level, finish those probably by the end of this month, and then turn it over for a legal counsel review before that goes through the environmental review process. And today, Carrie and I sat in, I believe, on a webinar from CalPERS. At least I know I did. I think Carrie did as well. They were talking about CalPERS' response to COVID-19. We know certainly the stock market has taken quite a dip. So they discussed many topics along those lines. Currently, CalPERS is for the year, which runs from last July through current time and ends June 30th, 2020. They're currently at a negative 4% return on their portfolio. So depending on what happens in these last 3 months, their prediction is somewhere around a 0% return. So obviously their assumed rate of return is 7%. So that would be a loss for the year. They kind of went through how they amortize that loss over 20 years. So we wouldn't see any impact on our rates for at least two more years from this year's assumed loss if it continues the way it is. So it gives us some time to plan for any impact on our rates that we pay to CalPERS. And that's pretty much the end of my report.
Okay. Any questions from the general manager on his report?
None from Karen White.
Okay. I don't see anyone else. Okay. Now, is the sheriff lined up tonight, Mr. Clement?
We invited him. I don't know if he's on. Do you know, Carrie?
Good evening. Michael Manuelli, Commander, Sheriff South Station.
Commander Manuelli.
Hi.
Were you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay. If you're ready, I'm ready.
We're ready.
All right. So I have your report for March 2020. And as we have heard from fire, the same thing is happening with law enforcement. The amount of calls is drastically reduced. Compared to last year for Oceano, there were 583 calls for service. This year, there were only 180 calls for service. That's down about 69%. And I looked at it a little bit closer, and I divided March in half. And in the first half of March, there were 135 calls for service. In the second half of March, there were only 45 calls for service. So that was right at about the time of the orders being placed, and everything seemed to drop off. The same is true for reports as well. They have seemed to drop off. We were on track to have a rather large month of reports with 50 in the first 15 days of the month, and then it dropped drastically down to 19 for the last half of the month. Calls for service, there were 4 for assault and battery, 22 for disturbances, 1 burglary, 2 thefts, 9 vandalisms, 2 trespassings, 1 phone scam, and 5 suspicious circumstances. Other things worth noting is that the Sheriff's Office has taken many steps to maintain public safety. We've increased our patrol staffing from other units that are normally not assigned to patrol. We've increased our hours to 12-hour patrol shifts. The Sheriff's Office has also upgraded his app with COVID-19 news. We've increased awareness with Smart 911 with the Take Control, Let Us Know campaign. Then there's also Slo County's ReadySlo.org, which has a large amount of information. Our lobbies have been closed to the public. We are trying to handle as many reports via phone as possible, which is not always possible. We do have to respond to some calls. We are assisting public health with the unsheltered population. And although I don't have it statistically, I suspect we're going to see an increase in mental health calls for service. And that's my report.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And that report.
Are there any questions of the commander?
Yeah, Karen White with a question.
Okay.
Are countywide, are they getting any increases in domestic violence? Would that, I mean, I could expect the burglaries to go down with everybody home.
That's difficult to say. Generally, we would expect an increase in domestic violence when people are together for different levels, which is not normal. But I don't have that statistically because there are so fewer calls for service. Everything, the amount of calls to the sheriff's office just drastically dropped. So I don't have that statistically, but I expect that to be true.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions for the commander before we go? Okay.
No.
None. Thank you so much for your report.
All right. Thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thank you.
Stay safe and stay healthy. Bye.
You too. Okay, that'll make us on to board of directors and outside committee reports. We'll start with Director Villa. Do you have a report?
No.
Okay. Director Gibson.
Yes. So on April 1st, I went to an actual meeting, my last real meeting, and it was RAC, and basically, we reviewed the proposed budget for county flood control and water conservation. And then we spent time on the Paso Robles Basin. And they're looking to add an amendment to their ordinance of water neutral new development. And then I had a telephone conference with the State Water Subcontractors Advisory Committee. And we discussed the Delta Conveyance Project. And basically, it was quite a few updates. And we're hoping to receive new language on the contract amendment. And we are looking at water management tools, and then the project will be reviewed again by the supervisors around, I think, May 17th. That's all.
Okay. Any questions of Director Gibson? Okay, seeing none. Vice President White, do you have any reports?
Yes, I have a report, and I have it on Manager Clemens' beautiful new form, which is very nice to use. On April the 3rd, I had an audio special meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority. And the first thing was Fire Chief Steve Lieberman reported on the COVID-19 impacts to the fire staff and actions being taken in regard to the pandemic. And then we had a closed session to deal with three individual items. One was labor negotiations. The second was initiation of litigation. And the third was a conference with legal counsel for existing litigation. There was no reportable action of any of those three portions of that meeting, but we did set April 17th as a second audio meeting with legal counsel for clarifications of issues linked to the existing litigation. And that's it.
Okay. Any questions of Director White?
No.
Okay. No one. Director Pogo, did you go in any committees?
No.
Okay. I will give a report on, I did not attend any meetings. They canceled the meetings for Zone 11A in the sanitation district, but I do have updates. I've been checking in with the sanitation district during this time. And our administrator participates in daily conference calls with the County Office of Emergency Services and stays up to date. Daily conditions on staffing and operations are provided to the county and all the water and wastewater by all water and wastewater agencies. Staff's been practicing social distancing and began wearing masks and face coverings this week. Operators remain split into three alternating groups to provide isolation and separation. The secretary and the administrator have been working remotely from home with weekly visits to the plant. And so as of today, this morning, everyone remains in good health and able to work. And on the leak in March 10th to the outfall line, that it still has the temporary repair, but the final repair will be made on April 20th. But all the numbers have been within the limits. And that's about it. Everything's running smoothly over at the plant. And then the Zone 11A, we did not have a meeting, but we received an update. So I'll just highlight the updates that on the channel maintenance, there's regular inspections are occurring. Flap gates are being checked and maintained. Trash is being monitored, picked up, and disposed of as needed. The total rainfall, when we start on March 1st, the total rainfall was 6.3 inches. And by March 20th, the total rainfall was 11.9. So we got all that rain in those good rainy events we had in March. The waterway management program is working. The channel is working as designed. And they sent pictures. I'll put them here. I'll turn them in. But the pictures that show before and after the March flood. And before we had less than 5-year flood protection. And now after this project, there's 10-year. Flood protection. The creek and the lagoon are flowing well, flowing out to the ocean. And the construction of the second phase of the project will start in the summer of this summer. And that's it for Zone 11A. Is there any questions? Okay, seeing none. Is there any public comment on our staff reports and director reports?
I don't see any hands up.
Harry doesn't have any.
I don't see any hands, but just to remind everybody, it's press 9 on the phone and then click the raise hand button to notify the host you would like to speak.
Okay. We'll give it a couple seconds to make sure there's nobody.
Yeah. That
okay, well, I guess we do not have any public comment. So we'll move on to item 7, the consent agenda, which is the minutes of March 11th, special meeting March 20th and the cash disbursements. So is there any discussion on the consent?
President Austin, yes. I have some corrections on the March 11th minutes.
Okay. Something you can just, is there anything else?
No, that's all. I don't think I need to pull them if I can just
want to answer the questions. Okay. If there's anybody else have questions on any of the others before we go back?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I have, okay. Go ahead. What were your corrections?
There's the March 11th, Ms. Hudson, A, in the first section. Would like to inform the community that flooding is performed by SLO County. I think that probably should be flood control. And then replace faucet district office and fire living space, like fire station living space or fire department living space. And then there are just a couple of acronyms in here that maybe could be spelled out because I'm not sure what they are. In two, they're ISO, and then in three, CUCACC.
ISO.
And then down in on the next page, on the next page in B, Mary Lucy's commented sewer spill at SSLOCSD. There wasn't actually a sewer spill; it was treated wastewater. The sewer spill was up at Avila, I believe. So, and that's all I had.
Okay. So, who wants to? The ISO, can someone answer a question for ISO, Data Clearinghouse?
Unmute Lieberman. Let me get him. I'm sorry.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, you're here.
Steve Lieberman. ISO is abbreviated for Insurance Service Office.
Okay, thank you. And then Jim, the Zone 3 attended the CUCACC. Director, Mr. Clemens?
Yeah, we can spell that out. California Uniform Construction Costa County Commission.
Say that one more time.
California Uniform Construction Costa County Commission.
Okay, so it's CA. Okay. Okay, all right. And then we change the commented sewer spill, should it change that to treated water spill, the treated water leak is what it was.
Yeah, we can update that.
The sewer spill, I don't know if we can, but that's true that it was not a sewer spill. So you say, Carrie, you say you could change that to?
Yeah, to treated wastewater.
Yes. Okay, so is there nothing else? Then do we want to, someone want to make a motion?
Hi, Karen White, I'll make a motion. We
on these items for consent agenda?
Huh?
I don't know that I called for public comment on the consent agenda yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you did not. Go ahead.
Okay, we'll see if there's any public comment first.
Don't see any hands raised, but it's press 9 on the phone and then click the raise hand button to notify the host meeting. You have public comment.
You said we do have one?
I don't see one yet.
Okay, we don't have
one. Maybe we should clarify because this disappeared for me before. To show the raise hands button, you need to click on the computer on the participants down at the bottom screen. And then the sidebar pops up where there's a raise hand button. It disappeared for me for a little bit, and then I had to find it again.
Okay.
And Carrie, one thing that you could always do, just to be clear, is just to unmute. There's so few members of the public here. You could just mute everybody and just, in case they have a technology issue.
I'll just go ahead down the list and let people know they're unmuted. So Brenda Loeb, I unmuted you. But it's not unmuting. I'm wondering if she has herself muted. I'm going to unmute all.
Okay.
Brenda Lowe, do you have any public comment?
I do not.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll move on then to our...
Oh. Okay, I'll make a motion then.
Okay.
This is Karen White. I make a motion. We approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
All right, roll call. I'm going to go. Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Replogle?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, this will bring us to business items. So A and B are business items. Approval of a temporary addendum or memorandum of understanding with the Service Employees International Union Local 620. We have a staff report on that?
Yeah, so there was a staff report, but I have a short verbal report. This is President Austin, members of the board. We have in front of you a temporary addendum to the MOU with the Service Employee International Union Local 620 group. They have reviewed this and confirmed it. This came from in response to the Families First Coronavirus Response Act that went approved a little at the end of March and it put into place on April 1st. And the FFCRA, the Families First Corona Response Act, requires employers to provide employees with paid sick leave and expanded family and medical leave for specified reasons, which have been listed in the staff report and also in the addendum to the MOU. The addendum also included a policy for telecommunicating. This was so we would have the ability to serve district functions and perform them at alternative locations, such as our homes. So those have both been included. And with that, we can answer any questions or comments.
Hey, anybody have any questions or comments on the agenda item 8A? Okay, any public comment on agenda item 8A?
Okay, yeah, just to remind everybody, press 9 on the phone and the raise hand button on the participant sidebar. Mine is on the right. I don't want to assume everybody else is on the right, but it's to have your participants and the raise hand at the bottom.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. Okay, there's no public comment. So does anyone want to make a motion on this item?
Karen White, I'd be happy to make a motion to approve the temporary addendum to the Memorandum of Understanding with the Social Service Employees International Union Local 620. And I'm certainly glad the government is allowing this to happen.
Okay. Is there a second on this motion?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Can you get a roll call, Carrie?
Yes. Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to B. That's the overview of the district's COVID-19 response and ratification of certain actions.
Yes, so you do have a staff report and just kind of expounding on that a little bit more on our response. So one of the things we're asking you to ratify is our COVID response plan that was put into place in mid-March. Which kind of outlines how we're going to try to protect the public, our customers, and our staff from this virus. And also to ratify the declaration regarding virtual public meetings that we're now doing along with most every other public agency. So that's the overview. I wanted to expound a little bit on our water quality. As Tony mentioned in his operations report, the water is safe to drink. The process that is used by the county at Lopez Water Treatment Plant. Just to give you an idea, when that was designed originally in the 1960s, since the lake is a body contact lake, they had to design into it the ability to make sure that any viruses are killed. And they did that through creating what is called the terminal reservoir. So the water from the main reservoir comes down to the water treatment plant, and there's a terminal reservoir that the water sits in, could be for up to 90 days. The minimum requirement is 30 days. And I spoke to the water treatment operators out there. Typically, the water stays in the terminal dam about 45 days. So that's one process that helps to eliminate viruses from the water supply. Back in the 60s, the filtration was sand and activated carbon. That was replaced in about 2006 with the new treatment plant, which is microfilters. And what they designed into the new treatment plant was they designed it with a thought of eventually eliminating that terminal reservoir. So the treatment plant itself can handle killing the viruses through the treatment process. But in addition, it has that old feature of the terminal reservoir that is still in use. So you kind of get in the best of both worlds in this circumstance. So I just wanted to bring that out, that our drinking water is safe and meets all state and federal regulations. Some of the other things that were addressed in the staff report, we've seen, as Tony mentioned, an uptick in illegal dumping, and whether or not that was because there's more people out and about seeing it to report it, that could be a factor. Could be that people are spring cleaning now that they're home. That could be a factor. And also the factor that South County Sanitary is really discouraging people from putting out bulky items at this time. So what we've done at the district, we've been addressing all the illegal dumping tickets, but we've delayed them by 72 hours at a minimum. And that's to give any virus that might be on those items a chance to die off. And then making sure that we have our safety equipment on and trying to touch it as infrequently as we can. So preferring to use backhoes and the such to load that garbage. So that's been an issue that we've addressed in the last month. Let's see what else I wanted to talk. Oh, so our staffing. We've basically split our office and our field staff in half. So we kind of have a split shift, meaning two people in the field, two to three people in the office 1 week, and then the next week, the other two come in, and that way there's no interaction between all the staff members. And we're doing that in order to try to eliminate the impact should one person come down with the virus and require those that have had interactions to quarantine. And so that's what we're currently doing, and that's a model that a lot of the other agencies in the area are using as well. So when they're at home, they're telecommuting. Those in the office are telecommuting. The guys in the field are using that time to take tests, take some training. Our LHMP requires some FEMA training, some courses that they'll be able to take. So we're making the best use of this time. You know, it's not like they're just sitting home doing nothing, but they're trying to be as productive as possible. We've obviously closed the offices to the public. We're trying to encourage people to do business via mail, email, phone. We've seen a very low number of customers coming to the office, which is a good thing. I think it was a slow period. Now that the bills have gone out, we're starting to see an uptick, but still the foot traffic is not as great as it used to be, which is a good thing. And along those lines, we've reduced our window hours to noon to three, trying to focus anybody that has to do business in person, give them a focused time period, rather than, because it's kind of disruptive to have to put on gloves and masks every time somebody comes to the window to do a transaction. So those are some of the responses that we put into place. And with that, I think I'll just leave it open for questions at this point, if you have any.
Anybody have any questions? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
President Austin, this is Jeff. I just want to let your board know that although your general manager is making these changes, we've been in communication with the union throughout all of this, and the union has been very receptive to the changes that your general manager is making, and that goes along with that item that you just addressed on 8A, as far as you know, changing the way things are going for a temporary basis. And so the union and staff is all supportive of your general manager on this issue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
So I just had a question to verify and be clear. People that pay their bills in person, they come between 12 and 3? Is that
correct?
Okay, and that's posted outside that says to come?
Posted on the internet outside. If people call, we let them know that.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have any questions or comments for Will?
Yeah, when the public comes in, do they wear masks or gloves, or is there any way to encourage that?
It's a hit and miss, just like anyone out there. Some do it, some don't. We've, you know, we've closed the office. We have a window, and we've kind of constructed a barrier, a physical barrier, to keep them from coming right up to the window so that they can just pass the money through a slot pretty much. So we're trying to do everything we can to socially distance the customers from the staff.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments? Okay. This is just an overview.
You want to take an action to ratify those two items, so.
Okay, so we want to
take a vote.
So item 8B, then we'll need a motion.
And the motion would be to approve staff recommendation.
Okay.
And public comment also.
Well, see, did we ask for public comment? Is there
you
any
should, public yeah. comment?
Yeah.
Are we doing public comment now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, press 9 on the phone and then raise your hand if you're on the Zoom website or in the app.
Okay, it doesn't look like we have any comments, so we'll go ahead and move on with the motion.
I move that we approve staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, roll call please, Carrie.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. So before we go on, I just want to really thank the staff, the general manager, and all the staff for all the extra work that's gone into setting up these meetings and dealing with the COVID crisis. I think you've done an outstanding job, and I think it's very much appreciated. We'll move on to the nothing on hearing items. We have a received written communication, the letter from Susan Thomas of the local union. And is that something that Jeff, Mr. Minery, would handle for us or give us guidance on, or what we're supposed to do with that letter?
It's up to the general manager and the president of the board.
Yeah, Jeff, can you just maybe address what we plan to do for their request?
The request was some education on the Brown Act and Milius Myers. I think ultimately what the union is requesting is just, I don't want to overkill it, but I think some brief presentation in just regards to staff and board member interaction. I don't think the Brown Act is necessarily implicated. But I think, that we've been working very well with the unions. Staff is very appreciative of your board. And so I think a brief presentation, if that helps the union and the board and everyone, that I would recommend you go ahead and recommend we bring that forward at the next meeting and keep it kind of short and sweet, but
is that something you would put together, then, Mr. Minery?
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. That's something you would put together, the training?
Yeah, I looked online today. I'm trying to find something that's already been done, so I'm not spending a lot of time on it. But I think that the union has made a simple request. I think it could be easily honored.
Okay. Do we vote on this, or do you just...
You just give direction to legal counsel and general manager.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments on the board?
No, let's just move forward on it, please.
So you mean you want to move forward with the training?
Yes.
Okay, I agree. Does anyone else agree that we should move forward with the training?
Yes. Awesome
letter from the union. I think it'd be good for all of us.
Yes.
And I think for maybe for the new members, the newer members on the board, I don't know if we need to review the process, the employee complaint process, and that whole there's a thing about who talks to who, and maybe that needs to be reviewed a little also. I don't know.
Well, I think Mr. Minery can figure that out, right?
Of course. And again, I'm going to try to, I don't want to spend time on this. I don't think that's beneficial to the district, but.
All right. So we have a consensus then to bring that at the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then we're now at any public comment on the received written communications?
So it's 9 on the telephone and then raise hand button on the website and app.
Okay, looks like there's no public comment. So we'll go on to our future agenda items. And this is where I think we want to bring up the Major A20. Brenda made a very compelling comments. And I think that we should get moving right away if that's what we want to get it on the agenda so we know what we're going to want to do.
I want to agree with that.
I mean, it was the community spoke there, you know. It was overwhelmingly just as wasn't enough votes, so I think it bears that we should at least do it again in November. So if we can get a consensus to put that on the next agenda, I think that would be.
Karen White, the comment. I think it's not just a matter of calling for a tax. We need to go deeper into that, because before we can go anywhere, we still need to know what the county's going to do. You know, okay. I don't think we can just turn around in 2 weeks and call for another tax election. I think we need some more studies.
Yeah, well,
we need to put
put the whole issue on the agenda.
Whole issue, okay?
Yeah,
be able to get something together. Well, with everything going on this something.
Yeah. So the way I kind of envision that item is, okay, Measure 820 didn't get enough to pass. So what next? What are our next steps? You know, what are the options as a district, and what might happen in the community? And then kind of outline what staff will be working on during the wind down period, and what your board may want to consider, if anything, in the future.
Okay, so is that something you say we will put on the next agenda?
Yeah, we could have something on the next agenda.
Okay, does everyone else agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, is that going to consider all the possible options? What alternatives are you going to be laying out, Mr. Clements?
We're going to look at everything.
I'll give options that I see, and if you have any, you can discuss them. But then, you know, if you want staff to go a certain direction, let me know that. I don't see it. I see it more of a provide staff direct. An update on where we are and provide staff direction on where to go from here, if there's anything specific.
I agree.
I'm also curious if there are any plans in the community to try and put a citizens initiative on the ballot for November, because that only needs to pass by 50%.
I don't know the answer to that, Karen. Do you know?
No, I really don't. Not at this time.
Okay.
I think we can have a good
find out at this next meeting. See, maybe
get a good sense of that at the next meeting.
And a couple of things I'm interested in getting more information on are incorporation, because there are a lot of other tax sources out there that we would have, like transient occupancy tax, cannabis taxes, if we were incorporated. And I think there are a lot of people in the community also asking the same question. It's like, how much is the shortfall if we wanted to incorporate and we had all these other sources to draw on? How far away are we from being able to do that? And then another option might be annexation.
Huh. Yeah. Hmm.
Okay. Annexation to who?
Yeah.
Well, that's the question. I don't have any information, but it is something that might be worth looking into. You know, right now, as an unincorporated area, we're at the mercy of the county for a lot of things. And if we were a part of another city or were able to incorporate ourselves as a city, we'd have more control. So I don't want to get into a discussion of it now. I just think that those ought to be things that we think about and get some more information on so that we can evaluate them.
You might want to Google past attempts to do that.
That was done not that many years ago. In
1967.
No, it was after
that's
that.
That's a while ago.
Well,
that's why we formed OCSD, because there was, I have huge files and records of the attempt to incorporate, and it's we don't have that. It would be
okay. Well, I look forward to getting that information and learning the history and where we stand.
Okay, anything else before we?
Yeah, I don't think knowing the history of this past that we want our administrative staff to spend much time in the next 2 weeks looking at either annexation or forming a city, because I think that's pretty well outside of our limits right now.
The local control is with OCSD, and annexation would definitely not have any local control. We would be at the mercy of a city.
Well, I don't think we can discuss it now, but I think we need to focus on getting fire truck into the fire station on July 1st, 2021.
That's our main goal.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else before we adjourn? Anybody have anything else?
No, I don't.
My only question is who's going to sign the checks and how we do that.
President Austin, if I might, I did talk to Carrie, I think it was a couple weeks ago, Carrie, about your board did pass a policy expanding the authority of staff to sign general checks. And perhaps at the next meeting, we could bring back a way that would expand that authority, at least temporarily, I think in general, if we can move past this point where your board sits at the end of meetings signing checks is probably beneficial, but still keeping transparency. So maybe I could talk to your general manager and we can model other agencies and then just see how it goes while we're in this pandemic, and then see if that's something that you want to move forward with in the future.
Excellent idea from Karen.
Yeah.
Not all agencies sit at their desks at the end of the night signing checks.
That's all.
It seems a little outdated to me, but that's, of course, a board decision.
No, it's definitely outdated.
Okay, I think if we're done,
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Adjourned. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Did you bark?